Thanks for joining us today. My guest is Muppet puppeteer Jerry Nelson. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Sean.
If you have a question for Jerry Nelson, I invite you to give us a call at 866-999-4626, 866-999-4626. Now, the name Jerry Nelson may not sound familiar to some of our listeners, but they know his voice through Jim Henson's Muppets. Jerry has created some of the most beloved puppet characters in television history. Let me give a few examples. Robin the Frog, that's Kermit's nephew. Count Von Count, commonly known as the Count on Sesame Street. Gobo on Fraggle Rock. And Emmett Otter on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. And that's just a few. And Jerry also was one of the most prolific and talented singers in the Muppet Troupe. That's my opinion. You don't have to confirm that, Jerry. What do you think, Jerry? Through your work on Sesame Street, you may have sung more songs about counting than anyone else in human history.
That's a possibility, Sean. I suppose it is. I never counted that particular thing.
Now, you grew up listening to the radio. You grew up in Oklahoma for a bit and then moved to the Washington, D.C. area. And you wanted to be a singer, and that was something your grandparents encouraged you to do.
They did. I think I probably was 4 or 5, and they would give me coins, eventually working my way up to quarters to learn a song and sing a song. And they began that when I was young, and I still today, I'm still learning songs. Unfortunately, they're not around to give me quarters. But
And you also wanted to be an actor, I understand. And was the singing and acting ever something you really made a go of before you found your talent for puppeteering?
The puppeteering was kind of an accidental not accidental, but it just kind of flowed from that. I had come back from doing summer stock, and a friend of mine mentioned that he'd seen an article in the paper about Bill Baird. Bill and Cora Baird were major puppeteers from the early television days for me, and probably they were before that, but that was when I was aware of them. They had shows like Snarky Parker and The Whistling Wizard, various things like that. Great characters, mostly carved marionettes and hand puppets, rod puppets. They did a variety of things. But that was the first time I ever actually worked at puppetry. I was an actor and a singer. That's kind of what I went to school for in Washington, D.C. at American University. And I decided after a year and a semester that going to school there wasn't the thing. I should go to New York and study acting there if that's where I was going to end up anyway. And that's what I did.
You wanted to be a singer originally, and it's kind of ironic that even though it's not you yourself up there on stage alone, you've managed to be in a number of bands. And let me mention just a few. Maybe you can help me out. The Electric Mayhem Band, and that was the Muppet Show Band.
Yes.
Little Jerry and the Monotones.
Yeah, that was one of the Sesame Street singing groups, right?
Lubbock Lou and the Jug Huggers.
Okay, yeah. That was another Muppet Show Band, a jug band.
And another very famous jug band, Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Jug Band for Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, yeah.
Any other bands that you've managed to find your way into?
Well, I've had a few bands of my own, and I play in various bands of friends. One of my early bands was Muskogee Murray and the Galactic Stand-Up Band. That was a band I put together in England. Basically, my bands usually last for one show, so I like to rename the band every yeah. I had another one on the Cape here called Grumpy and the Beachcombers.
And which one were you?
I was Grumpy.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Now, my guest this morning is Jerry Nelson, the man behind many Muppet characters. And if you have a question for Jerry, give us a call, 866-999-4626. So you started out with Bill Baird and his marionettes, but you found your way to Jim Henson. Tell me about meeting Jim Henson.
Well, I had worked in Washington, D.C. As a page at their local NBC affiliate, WRC. And when I was that was just basically delivering teletapes to the newsroom and delivering mail to various departments. So as I would in my journeys, I would travel across the studio floor, and often I would see Jim and his to be wife Jane working out something for their presentation. They had a show called Sam and Friends. I think it was the first show they had. They did commercials there too in the Washington area, and so I knew who they were. I'd never met them, but at the end of the World's Fair, in that would have been 1965, I guess. At the end of 1965, I was working at the World's Fair at the Chrysler Showground with Bill Baird. And Bobby Payne, who had worked with Jim in Washington, D.C., asked me if I knew who the Muppets were. And I said, yeah, oh, sure, I knew who they were. He said, well, did you know they had moved to New York? And I did not know that. And he said, well, I think you ought to call Jim up. I think you guys would get along. So I called Jim and made an appointment, went and talked to him. At that time, their shop was above they had two floors above Chuck's Composite, which was a bar restaurant, basically for models and people that work in that, photographers, et cetera, agents like that. And they had two floors above that. One was an office and a rehearsal space. And upstairs was a shop. So he asked me to make a voice tape for him, and I did. And I went home immediately, made it, brought it back the next day. And gave
so
it to
a number of voices. Did you sing?
Yeah, I did. I don't think I sang on that. No, I did several voices, one of which was very close to Kermit. He said, oh, you can't do that voice. I said, I said, why not? He said, well, that's my – I do that voice. Anyway. That was the first thing. He eventually gave me the job. Frank was going to leave. Frank had been working with him on the Jimmy Dean show.
Oh, that's Frank Oz, Miss Piggy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so he had a draft notice, and this was 1965, as I said. So they needed a replacement. Jim needed a replacement for that. And Jerry Jewell, who was basically the writer, he was a puppeteer too, but he didn't enjoy that as much as he did writing. And Don Saline, who was a builder. So Jim really needed another puppeteer to take Frank's place. On the Jimmy Dean show, they did it. Rolf the Dog, who was a kind of a philosopher, poet, very warm character. Jim did his voice his head, the speech, the mouth with the right hand, his right hand. He did the left hand with his left hand. Frank did the right hand, and when I took the job, I did the right hand, and then used my left hand to hand up props, have props ready below the playboard for the dog to bring up. And so, in effect, my first job with Jim was being a dog's right-hand man. I like to tell people that it's humbling.
Jim Henson has been called one of the most influential people of the 20th century. And what was he like as a person? How did he treat you?
Well, he treated everyone very well. Jim was a fantastic judge of character, I guess you would say. He assembled a team that he knew would function well together. That was one of the things that he could really intuit pretty early on with people. And creatively, he just his mind was continually coming up with ideas and things. Also, he would bounce. They would have like skull sessions where they would bounce ideas off of each other, and he gave everybody a chance to do what they did well. He never told anyone how to do something. He generally just would cast that person to do the job that he thought they would do the best job at, and then let them do it.
Did Jim Henson ever express to you what he thought of your work and what you brought to the Muppets?
Well, I don't know that he ever. Yeah, he would occasionally after doing something, you would say that, you know, that was nice. I don't think he ever did that except, you know, in keeping me working for a lot of years. Mm. I think actually when Frank was not drafted, by the way, and when he came back, he didn't come back to the show. We finished the show, ended, and we went on tour with Jimmy Dean. And then eventually Frank came back, and we did a lot of commercials, and we did a lot of the at that time there were a lot of variety shows on television, and so we did a lot of the variety shows, the Tonight Show, the Ed Sullivan Show, Hollywood Palace, things like that, the Cher Show, Perry Como Show, a lot of different variety shows.
And I was speaking with Jerry Nelson. He's a puppeteer with the Muppets and Sesame Street, and quite a list of characters that you've found yourself the hand and voice of. Maybe we should talk about Sesame Street. Let me get your opinion. Why do you think Sesame Street has been so successful?
Well, I think originally they had a great the idea that that they came up with was essentially that children seem to have a short attention span. They would watch commercials, and then they would, if something was kind of long and drawn out, they would lose interest in it. So they designed the show that would be like selling numbers and letters and ideas about words and what words were, what words meant, like telephone. And there would be a telephone involved in it, and they would show the word. It was giving that kind of information that a child sort of needs to function when they do eventually start attending school. And they started giving that information on television as little short pieces that would catch the attention, hold the attention, and sell the product, which in that case were numbers, letters, ideas, concepts. And I think that's the reason it was really successful, because that's what worked, and children that then later went to school were ready for that. It was really kind of designed as a Head Start program for disadvantaged children. Usually children who had a parent that did not work, they would be home with the child, and they would teach the child things, and that child would be ready to go to school and have a basic knowledge. But people who were more disadvantaged did not have that ability. So often both parents would work, or it was only a one-parent family. And so that parent had to work. And so that child was at a disadvantage when they would start school, because they hadn't had anyone to teach them these things. And I think that was originally why Sesame Street was built and designed the way it was. It had the effect of capturing a much larger audience.
And some of the characters you played include Harry Monster, the Count, as we mentioned. You were the original puppeteer behind the character Snuffleupagus. That's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Snuffleupagus, yeah. That was Bird's, what everyone thought was an imaginary friend. Young children often have imaginary friends, and so he was kind of meant to be that for Bird. Although he wasn't imaginary, he was real. But it seemed that every time the bird would get people to go meet him, he would wander off, and so he wouldn't be there, and people just thought he was an imaginary friend.
But I think the Count may be the most recognizable one. I don't know. Maybe you disagree.
Well, probably the most long-lived one. Most of the others have dropped by the wayside, except I guess the only ones. No, we're bringing back Fred the Wonder Horse, Marshall Grover's horse, Fred the Wonder Horse.
You've had quite a few interactions with Grover, trying to order from waiter Grover, maybe even get a glass of water.
Or... Yeah, that's Mr. Johnson, or as we like to call him, Fat Blue. Yeah, it's kind of a nice. Well, it's kind of like, I guess you would say it's. It's what do you call that? The kind of drama when you kind of act out what your intentions are. Yeah, that's the kind of. Frank and I have that kind of those kinds of relationships.
What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, it's what am I trying to? The word I'm trying to think of here. Yeah. Frank is a perfectionist. I mean, he's brilliant. There's no question about it. He's a very funny guy, and he's brilliant because he takes the time to make it really exactly the way he conceives it in his mind. I'm much more of a minimalist when it comes to that. You know, I generally have the performance fairly early on. Because of the acting thing, and so I'm there, and so particularly with Grover, because he's you know he has that kind of endearing quality, which you know he's so cute and adorable, but he gets things wrong,
yeah.
And so it's exasperating. So that works really well for that particular character, for the customer character.
We mentioned the Count, and I just want to remind. Our listeners, just what the Count does. Maybe you could play that for us, Brian.
Oh, what am I going to hear?
When sad we sing a mournful tune. Like creatures baying at the moon. But we all dance when things are fine. Yes, even Dr. Frankenstein. Ah-ha-ha! Ah-ha-ha! And what a dancer Frank is. And what dance does he do? Three guesses. Bobby Winton, eat your heart out. Things that say poo are all rushing to do. The Transylvania polka. Witches and elves are all teaching themselves. The Transylvania.
Well, that's the Transylvania polka from The Count's Countdown. I think that was 1997.
Yes. Well, you have the numbers. All goes in one ear and out the other.
What do you like about The Count?
I guess because he's just so fixated on counting things.
He's enthusiastic.
He's an enthusiastic guy, and he's pretty friendly, too. I guess that's...
Right, he gets along with all those crazy Muppets. And...
Yeah, he usually gets them into... some kind of scheme where they will hire him ask him to do something, and he does it, but not the way they want. He does it by counting rings. I think Ernie wanted him to answer the telephone, and so the telephone rang, and he just counted the rings, and it was kind of exasperating for Ernie.
As you've grown older, you've given up playing many of these characters, though I understand you still perform the Count. What's it like to leave in someone else's hands a character that you created, performed for years, and perhaps even, you know, grew fond of?
Well, in a way, it's like a little piece of you is kind of drifting away, but in some ways. In other ways, it's it kind of depends on what the character is. Most of the characters on Sesame Street, that they're just not done anymore. I mean, there's a there's kind of a dead puppet memory wall, and many of those puppets have kind of gone by the wayside, replaced by new puppets over the years. But yeah, I don't know what it's like. It's I don't think about it too much. The characters that I used to do, like maybe Floyd and other characters like that, I have been fortunate enough to point in a direction that I thought that they should go with it, and even point at a person that I thought would be very capable at doing what I did there.
And that's Floyd Pepper, the bassist for the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah, Floyd and Robin and Lou Zealand. I didn't have much to do with that. I think the person that did that did it pretty well. I'm always surprised at how much Muppet fans know about characters and about the show. They actually know more than we do. I don't know why this is. I guess because we do a song and then we forget it and learn the next song and then forget it and learn the next song. They remember things like whose picture was on the piano and in terms of that, even a lot of the younger puppeteers that have come along are people that grew up watching Muppets, and they have their favorites, and they often can do a good job of doing those characters. So, you know, it's in good hands.
In the late 70s, you started doing The Muppet Show, and I've read that you performed more characters on The Muppet Show than any other puppeteer. How did that happen? How did you find yourself in that role?
Well, I think maybe because of my acting experience. I don't know. I was kind of the utility man. I had some regular characters who were not necessarily major parts of the show, but that was because I did a lot of this. You know, I was the utility batter. You know, I jumped up for a lot of the one-time characters that would come through a show that they would write just for a particular show.
And being one of the better singers, or perhaps even the best singer.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Right. You performed, recorded, and traded quips with some of the greatest entertainers we have. And do you have any favorites that come to mind of people you've performed with as a Muppet character?
Oh, there's so many. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, when I was a kid, if you told me when I was going to Saturday morning movies and seeing Roy and Dale Rogers on the screen, that I would eventually work with them, I would have thought you were crazy. And later in my life, when I started listening to jazz, Dizzy Gillespie was always a favorite of mine, and I got to sing scat with Dizzy and got to know Dizzy a little bit and saw him in other places and maintained a kind of a minor friendship with him, but it was just phenomenal to me.
And he was surprised at your scat ability, wasn't he?
Well, we were doing a thing where he was doing a scat and was joined by Zoot and Floyd, and I remembered an old record of his, I guess probably from the early 50s, and so it would have been 20 years old. And when it came my turn to scat, I laid a line on him, bia bia oo ya koo, bia bia oo ya, bia bia oo ya koo, which was a line that he had done in his tune. And when I did the line, he did a big take at me because I think he was surprised that you know, that I knew that or that any of us would know that tune. But it was great. Pearl Bailey, I loved being able to sing with I was a horse that sang with Roy Rogers, got to sing harmony with Roy Rogers.
Wow.
We got to sing with a lot of Johnny Cash. Oh, just so many people. It was always a pleasure.
One around Christmas time, one of the favorites I think for families is the Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas Special. How'd you find yourself becoming Emmett Otter? And was Jim Henson involved in that a lot, or were you kind of you and the folks?
He was very much involved in that. Sure, he conceived, I guess, with Jerry Jewell, who wrote the adaptation for our version of it from a book by the Holmans. And he was very much involved. I think he just picked me I don't know, you know, it's weird. When I went to work for Bill Baird, Franz Fazekas was a puppet builder. He was the articulator of puppets. He's a brilliant man, and he eventually came up with a lot of the mechanical stuff that Muppets used. He worked for Muppets, so I worked with him over a long period of time, and he was always played the young kid for all of Bill's things, and so I don't know. Maybe that's just where I ended up. For the Muppets, you know, I played Robin the Frog and Emmett Otter and Gobo, and they're all basically the same voice, but kind of different characters.
And Gobo is from Fraggle Rock,
right?
And that's one of the shows we're not going to have a chance to talk very much about today, unfortunately.
Don't tell me we've gone through that.
We have. That means you're going to have to come back so we can talk again. Thank you very much, Jerry, for coming in.
I'm sorry about blathering on so much.
No, you sure didn't. I also want to mention fans of the Muppets on Cape Cod. They should check out the exhibit of Muppet designer Ed Christie, who lives in Truro, and that's at the Provincetown Art Association and Museum until this Sunday. You can go see some Muppets there. And thanks for Mindy Todd and Brian Morris for helping me out in the studio today. I'm Sean Corcoran. Thanks for listening.
The Point is hosted and produced by Mindy Todd. The executive producer is Steve Young. Production assistance from Dan Treidel and Jenny Jenker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH Radio.